Blog Talk Radio.
Party in the Spirit of America party book. Well, we're being distracted with the murders in Benghazi covered up by the party of death and the lies that are being told by all the government agencies. Let us take a minute after to remember the backbone of America, those veterans, that 2% of the nation that keeps us all alive. Today is the day to thank a vet. If you're female and you see a male soldier, you should go right up and give him a big kiss. And if you're a male soldier and you see a female out there, you should go out and give her a big kiss. And then hope you get a good judge that remembers Veterans Day. Okay, we're going to do patriotic songs today, so and then we'll get into some claptrap. That's what it is. It's all claptrap. Stand by, we'll give you a tune. You know they're all talking about General Petraeus, right? He's the bad boy. He's the bad boy. But the king of smut, Billy Clinton, he was a good boy. Yeah, President Pinocchio pants, the kids in kindergarten call him. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? We can look up to our role models. Yeah, we got a lot of role models we can look up to, the Kardashians, if you want to be a woman. Okay. Enough said. I'm not going to kick the gong around today. We're going to go and just find patriotic tunes. Maybe a love song once in a while. Here we go. Just watching on C-SPAN the Chinese National Convention with President Jintao, and it was in a huge building. They had about 10,000 members of their Congress sitting there, some wearing traditional cultural costumes, clothing, and I said to myself, you know, they're all Chinese. They're all Chinese. You know, they have one thing in common. They're all Chinese. What do we have in common? We have nothing in common. We don't. We're a divided country. We're on the way out. We're on the way out, and we're getting help from the Americans. And I just said to myself, you know, I'm listening to that Navy tune. It's not the Navy hymn. I can't say Navy hymn because that's a different one. And that's a great one. We'll play that during the show. I said to myself, how can you call yourself an American if you never served your country? You don't have that same feeling, that same patriotic feeling that guys that have been in the service have. You don't. I'm sorry. When I grew up, everybody went into the service. My father had four sons. They all went into the service. Part of your life's experience, and it taught you how to be a man. And today, you got men that are 39 years old; they're not men yet. They're getting their nails done. God help us, man. We're in trouble. We're in trouble, and I don't know what it's going to take. It may take a nuclear war or a depression to wake us up. we got to go back to being proud and humble at the same time. Proud of our country and humbled by the mighty power of God Almighty. And then we'll be okay. Here's American Elvis.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee.
Yes, He did.
And He crowned thy good with brotherhood of sea, the shining sea. To that last part.
When I was listening to that Navy tune, some stats jumped into my mind. Do you know that the last stats I read that the U.S. military is 45% feminine? Now, they don't say 45% female. They say 45% feminine. What does that mean? And if we get into combat, how good is that 45% that going to function? You think they're going to be up for the game against all males on the other side? Going to be able to contain themselves? They're going to be able to support each other? I hope so. You know, I'm tired of committees investigating after the fact. Now we just heard Elvis, you know, from sea to shining sea, and crown thy good with brotherhood. Where's the brotherhood? This is a divided country. It's more divided than before the Civil War. Let's face it. The blacks are not crazy about the whites. The whites are not crazy about the blacks. The blacks are not crazy about the Chinese or the Koreans. The Chinese and the Koreans are not that crazy about the blacks, and probably the same for the whites. They tell you about the Latino community. Many Latinos hate Cubans. They consider them to be snobs. And many Cubans look on Latinos as being ignorant because they don't know, they have never felt the boot of communism on their neck. Then you got people dividing us by class, by religion. The rich versus the poor. Listen, there's nothing you can do about a guy like Carnegie or Rockefeller. These guys are going to come to the top, come hell or high water. And you're going to get very little from them. You got to build, you got to be a Carnegie Jr. and Rockefeller Jr. Don't wait for the government to feed you, because you know what? When the government can't feed you anymore, they're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. They're killing your kids already. 1,200,000 babies are murdered a year in this country. And do you know how many immigrants come to this country to take their place? 1,200,000 a year. Isn't that ironic? How come no white people are coming to the United States? Is there a limit on the number of white people who can come to the United States? If you mention that to somebody, they'll go right back to Ted Kennedy, who was friendly to the Soviet Empire. Ted, I can remember being on the Cape May ferry one year, and all of the people that were working the services on the ferry had Irish brogues. And we would ask them, oh, gee, you got an Irish accent. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from Tipperary. I'm from Dublin. And what are you doing here? We come over to work for the summer to get money to go back. And that was the last year I saw them on the ferry. I never saw them after that. What happened? Oh, so the Celtic Tiger became big and strong, and everybody went back to Ireland to make money. Now the Celtic Tiger is flat out, and he's on drugs. And what happened? How come white Europeans are being discriminated against? Are they being discriminated against? Who runs the immigration department? How come somebody never did a walkthrough to see how they operate? Yep. Think about that. And you remember what Abe Lincoln said, united we stand, divided we fall. Who wants us divided? The people that want to take us over. Divide and conquer goes back to the ancient Romans. I'm going to give you, this one is dedicated to all the GIs that are going to be left in the run out from Afghanistan to do the Mogadishu mile. And if Obama and his Pentagon has screwed this up, I hope they pay a terrible price for wasting lives. And you better make sure that that don't happen. Forewarned is forearmed, but this is for the GIs that make it home.
Propel back home.
why did you come to the USA? He said, oh, I come here to take advantage. Are you going to serve if we have to go to war? Oh, no, I don't serve this country. I hate this country. I have a good job. I have 9 social security numbers. I have a beachfront house on Lake Munchkin. Yeah, what about if we got to go to war? Oh, well, then I got to go somewhere else. I hate this country. Yeah, we're in trouble, man. We're in trouble. You know what? We're not building the right qualities in our people. Instead, we're playing one against the other. Everybody's in play today. The women are in play. The men hate you. The men hate you. They don't want you to go to an abortion clinic, but they want to make you pregnant. Yeah. Unbelievable. It's not like when a handful of farmers. Oh, that's another thing that gets me. I'm listening to, I'm talking farmers. I'm thinking farmers. I'm thinking clerks. I'm thinking grocery store owners. These are the people who stand up and die for the country. And Ann Coulter, who I like as a conservative, but now I'm starting to question her mental capability, says that the only presidents that should be elected are from governorships and from the Senate. Nobody else is qualified to be president. I'll take the cab driver with the Mukti Bhatt hack license over some of these governors and some of these senators. I'll take my chances, definitely take my chances with a housewife. Yep, somebody that has to put 2 cans of food back on the shelves because she's tapped out on her, she's maxed out on her credit card. Yeah. Yeah, that's who I want for president. I don't want these understudy Shiites. Let me give you the battle hymn of the Republic that was sung by men who died for us so that we could sit around and complain about secondhand smoke and global warming.
Eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed his faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
the men of industry, the giants, Carnegie, Rockefeller, and Chase, J.P. Morgan. It's very interesting. It shows you how Americans struggled to get a decent wage. And there's one situation that comes up where they're so big that one presidential candidate wants to bust them up. So they put all of their weight behind McKinley for president. And they each chip in $200,000 each as campaign contributions. I personally believed in campaign contributions. I get siphoned off. And I said when Obama got elected, he came in with $1 million, and before you know it, he'll be up to $4 million. And this is what happens when you become a president with a government job. And now they just announced tonight he's up to $14 million. Not bad for a guy that's got a government job. And the guy that holds the record is President Clinton. He was up to $137 million. Last time I heard any figures. You could Google it and check it out. If I'm wrong, you let me know. But being president is good business. But we got to get rid of all the special interest groups. All of them. The largest campaign contribution should be a dollar. That's right. If you're J.P. Morgan, the most you can contribute is a dollar. And that'll put an end to side bets and screwing the individual. And as it turned out in the story, McKinley got shot and Teddy Roosevelt became president. And they made him vice president because the vice president's job is a harmless one. And he was a trust buster. So you never can tell. Be careful what you wish for. I'm going to give you another tune. Oh, this is a recession tune. You know, as we watched those towers go down on 9/11, 2001, and we waited for the great American bounce back, and it took 10 years because of squabbling and jockeying for money position. 10 years it took. The Empire State Building took 1 year. And there was a line outside the Empire State Building where people were waiting for somebody to fall off the job so they can go take his place. How's that? The water boy made $5 a day. It was big money. He had to run up and down all of those stories and bring water to the guys out on the girders. How's that for hard-earned money? His brother. Oh, and then we had the March on Washington by the World War One veterans who wanted their pay that they were entitled to, bonus. It was a bonus march. They were promised a bonus. And during the Depression, the government couldn't give them the money. So they went down and protested, which is similar to, what is that, what they call now the War on Wall Street Boys? But the War on Wall Street Boys, that's a communist movement. That's to take down the country. These guys just wanted their money for serving. And they were broken up. They had camps in front of the White House and the Capitol building. And Generals Patton and MacArthur were ordered to go and bust the camps down. And they hurt some Americans. So when you're thinking about, will your government ever turn their rifles on you? Yes, they will. And it's been done before. So you got to think wise and stay alive. And get your country back.
They used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there, right on the job. They used to tell me I was building a dream with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line? just waiting for bread. Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower to the sun, brick, mortar, and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki suits, he will look swell, full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Hey, don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al, Al all the time. Say, don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a railroad, I made it run, and I made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Hey, brother, ain't got a dime about you, have you? And once I built a tower, yes, a tower to the sun, of brick, mortar, and lime. Yes, I'm the fella built the tower, and now it's done. Hey, buddy, ain't got a dime about you, have you? Once in khaki suits, he will look swell, full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Say, don't you remember? Don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al. Al all the time. Don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime?
I think that we were more American when we were fighting each other in the Civil War than we are today. The Irish came over here. As soon as they got off the boat, they were offered $300 to go join the military, go fight. So if they landed in New York, they fought for the Union. If they landed in Atlanta, Georgia, they fought for the South. And that was their introduction to the land where the streets were paved with gold. But they served their country, their new country that they loved. And they never betrayed it.
Johnny's came like a banshee on the wind.
sad is when you look around the world, the same things that took place 2,000 years ago are still going on today. The blacks are slaughtering each other in Africa. And the Iranians are as big a problem today as they were 2,000 years ago. The Middle East is always in turmoil. And look at us. You know, you go to one of these communist colleges and they'll tell you that the white man destroyed the red man and took over his country. But who was destroying the red man before the white man came? It's always been the strong oppress the weak. And this is the only country that has the opportunity to have a creed that says the strong must always protect the weak. So be aware of and be afraid of communist professors that fill your head full of anti-American BS. And my example is always the camel caravan, you know, where it's being formed for a trip. And different elements are coming into the caravan to make it bigger and stronger. And the guy sitting at the campfire and somebody says to him, you know, you have a beautiful woman there. How many camels do you have? Oh, you have 100? Yeah, we only have 20. How many swordsmen do you have? Oh, you don't believe in swords. Oh, that's very good. I think we take your woman. I think we take your camels. Yeah, that's how long that lasts. So, just remember, if one Indian tribe had more ponies than the other, or one tribe didn't have horses and the other had, you know what happened. Now, let me give you another tune here. Oh, this is one. This is a guy that has a solution to world peace.
No one likes us. I don't know why. We may not be perfect, but heaven knows we try. But all around, even our old friends put us down. Let's drop the big one and see what happens. We give them money. Are they grateful? No, they're spiteful and they're hateful. They don't respect us, so let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one and pulverize them. Asia's crowded, Europe's too old, Africa's far too hot, and Canada's too cold. South America stole our name. Let's drop the big one, there'll be no one left to blame us. We'll save Australia. Don't want to hurt no kangaroo. We'll build an all-American amusement park there. They got surfing too. Boom goes London, boom Paris. More room for you. And more room for me. In every city, the whole world round, we'll just be another American town. Oh, how peaceful it will be. We'll set everybody free. You wear a Japanese kimono, baby, and be a pair of shoes for me. They all hate us anyhow. So let's drop the big one now. Let's drop the big one now.
In New York City public schools, it's optional to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And I got a grandson that went to a good a public school. You know, one that gives you an education, as opposed to many that don't. And he said when they do the pledge, some guys stand up and they turn their back on the flag. And, you know, like they really don't have to do it. I know a guy that's a caretaker in another public school, and the mast for the flag was broken, and they didn't bother to fix it. You know, it's little things like that. Yet when I went to school, the nuns taught you love of country and taught you how great this country was. As a matter of fact, I got to play in a play in the classroom. You know, they moved all the desks on either side, and they made it Bunker Hill. And I was one of the stars in Bunker Hill. I was Major Pitcairn, and I had one line: "Disperse ye rebels, disperse." So all the rebels, the American rebels, were up there on the hill, and here I came with my British troops, and I said, "Disperse ye rebels, disperse!" And the whole class jumped me, including the nun, and beat me up. And that's how I learned about the American Revolution. So, and it was always the Pledge of Allegiance, and it was always respect the flag, respect the veterans, and of course respect your God, and God and country always came first. Now you have political parties that are party over country, and you can't have that. We got to get back to the basics. We got to get back to the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And we got to destroy anybody that tries to destroy it. It's the oath you take. All enemies, foreign and domestic. And there's more domestic than there are foreign. Until this Chinese convention is over. Yeah. So I'm going to give you a little Faith of Our Fathers. Veterans Day. A couple of things bother me. I'm going to mention them to you. When you talk about veterans, there's two groups of people that don't get included. And they are veterans too. Those are nuns and priests. And the sacrifices that they make for God and country. Well, I live near a boulevard that's named after a priest who died giving last rites in Vietnam. And there's, you can, if you look at the classic battleship scene, aircraft carrier burning scene on the carrier Lexington, I think it is, there's a priest praying over a dying Navy sailor. So nuns and priests are big contributors to the patriotism and the survival of the United States. And I salute them also today on Veterans Day because they're veterans also. Another thing that worries me is the rise of anti-Semitism, which is on the rise, I believe. And I think a lot of Jewish guys are disappointed with their own people who don't support Israel. And a little ray of hope that you're probably not aware of, the Rosenbergs, who betrayed this country and gave Soviet secrets to the Soviet Union, A-bomb secrets. If it's any consolation, the judge who sentenced them to death was Jewish. And if you Google it and you read his speech, you will take pride. In his last election, 85% of Muslims voted for Obama. 69% of Jewish voters voted for Obama. The one thing I regret about the Muslim vote is that every time I see somebody speaking for Muslims, they're either not Muslim or they're a cash convert. I want to hear the Muslims speak. I don't need Ibrahim or Hooper speaking for the Muslims. And I don't need the left-wing communists speaking for the Muslims. I want to hear it from the lips of the sons of the soil. And then I will be able to understand better where they're coming from. Right now, like the Democrat Party, I don't believe a word they say. And we're all looking for a truth teller. And if you remember this last election, there were two candidates, Republican candidates, who were staunch pro-lifers. And because they were staunch pro-lifers, they were ridiculed by their own party and blamed for the loss of the election. That was Aiken and what was the other guy's name? I forget the other guy's name, but they believed that a woman can't choose. But you know what the excuse was? They should never have been allowed to run, or they should have hidden their true intentions. That was it. Hide your true intentions. Don't tell the truth to the public. And you make it up later on. Yeah, you make it up later on after everybody's in the same barrel. So, having said that, we are in the middle of, we're in the 11th year of the jihad. The great jihad against the United States. And we have more enemies within than we have without. I think it was Cicero that said that the enemy inside the gates is more to fear than the ones that are outside. So I'm just going to give you a little flashback. And don't forget, this war is far from over. And wait till they do have nukes. As quick as they shoot those AK-47s up, they'll be lighting candles.
A gargantuan explosion! Oh my God, I don't believe it! The northeast corner has exploded in the most incredible explosion. Flames are flying out of the building. They're 5-10 stories high now. Black billowing smoke. The building corner, the whole entire corner is gone.
Both World Trade Center buildings in New York City right now, heaps of rubble. At 9 o'clock this morning, a plane crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan.
I heard the noise. I was in my office, and I heard the guy screaming. So I ran out, and everybody was saying, oh, my God, and they're in tears. They're crying. Everybody's upset.
I was just trying to make phone calls. I looked up, and I heard an explosion, and then I saw everybody in the street react first. People crying, people on the ground, everybody lying down. And then I looked up, and I saw this huge plume of smoke, and the tower just crumbling. And it just turned into a huge plume of smoke, and next thing you know, there's smoke in one tower.
Shortly after 9 o'clock, a second plane crashed into the second tower.
Oh, my God. I heard a noise coming in incredibly low. And then I was standing here looking out the window, and I knew it was going to crash and something was going to hit the building. I dove away from the window because I thought the explosion was going to implode the windows and I'd be shattered with glass flying out. As soon as it hit, I came back, and there was a ball of flame.
I'm still shaking. I saw it hit the tower and flame everywhere.
Then minutes later, President Bush in Sarasota, Florida, called those crashes an apparent terrorist attack and a national tragedy.
Today we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country. Terrorism against our nation will not stand. May God bless the victims, their families, and America.
Then an aircraft crashes near the Pentagon just outside of Washington, D.C. in Northern Virginia about an hour after those attacks in New York.
I was looking out our 12th floor windows at 1600 Wilson Boulevard in Roslyn, Virginia, and I watched this. It looked like a commuter plane, two engine, come down from the south, real low. Proceed right on and crash right into the Pentagon.
Then shortly after 10 o'clock this morning, one World Trade Center tower in New York collapsed.
Lots of smoke, and then the next thing I heard an explosion, and the building from the top, the south building, just crumbled.
Just after 10:30 this morning, the other World Trade Center tower collapsed.
We were standing there looking up at flames coming out of the building and smoke billowing out of the building and police and FBI everywhere, and suddenly we heard a rumble and the sky was full of smoke. Everybody read crowds of people running through, I mean, shouting out to each other not to fall into the subway entrances.
So it's just truly amazing, because yesterday afternoon we were sitting in the World Trade Plaza Center having lunch, and so now those two buildings are completely destroyed.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the
was attacked this morning by a faceless coward, and freedom will be defended. Make no mistake, the United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts. We will do whatever is necessary to protect America.
How sad, huh? We'll do whatever is necessary. And today we're debating. We got a Navy that's as small as 1914. And we do have bayonets, Mr. President. How sad. You know what's also sad? That we're sending people to the House and the Senate that vote to burn the flag. 40 days before 9/11, 48 senators voted to burn the flag. 125 congressmen, I call them Viet Congress mice, voted to burn the flag. They're in my book, The Spirit of America Party. I will never forget what they did. And I won't let you forget what they did. And you should also know that 80% of flag burners are baby killers. So if we could just get those 48 to come outside and the 125 congressmen and stand against the wall for a class picture, that's it. Big smile now. Big smile.
Ready? Aim! Fire!
I thought you'd like that. We're coming down to the end of the show. I got 2 minutes left. In my church, there's 47 names on the wall, on an American flag, of people who died, firemen and workers at the World Trade Center. And one of the firemen who died, his name was Chapura. He escaped the Beirut barracks bombing by Al-Qaeda, by Hezbollah, many moons ago. And that's how long we've been fighting this thing. And here's something else to think about. When they take us out, they usually put an airline out of business. They put TWU out of business, and they put Pan Am out of business, and they tried to put U.S. Air and American Airlines out of business. But that's one of their goals. And we got to put them out of business. And we got to get stronger, smarter, and safer. So the next time you're standing in line complaining about having to take your shoes off, look around you before you shoot your mouth off and make sure there's no GI standing there on prosthesis. Because I'm sure he'd be glad to take his shoes off the legs he used to have. And we've lost at least 47,000 legs in this 9-1-1 war. And here's a recap. We're up to 10,000 casualties. We've got 4,500 in Iraq who died. That doesn't count any wounded. 2,000 in Afghanistan that Obama hid till after the election. Yeah, this guy, if San Francisco gets nuked, he'll probably ask San Francisco to hold off on telling anybody till after the election, the next election, when he runs for a third term. Yeah, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. You got to get your country back. We ain't going to get it back by offending too many people. We got to get everybody back on the same team. There should only be two teams, mainstream America versus the communists. So I'm out of time. Should I go out with a song or just say sayonara? Let me see if I can find something. Oh. I got so many songs. Here we go. We'll go out with this one here. You're going to hear scratches in this because it's made of vinyl. But just remember, every scratch is equal to 8,000 Americans who died during World War II for us. And there's 47 scratches in the record.
days before 9/11, 48 senators voted to burn the flag of